Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and it is an honor to be with you all today on this extremely vital broadcast that the world needs in this crucial, crucial hour. Ladies and gentlemen, we are approaching incredibly dangerous times. We have the attempted assassination of President Trump. People don't even know where Joe Biden is. Apparently, he's made an appearance looking very strange today. Just yesterday makes this really odd phone call that, you know, he sounds extremely pepped up, more than I've ever heard him, for goodness sake. Reading names, off a list, rattling off names, very well. I mean, who's heard Joe Biden speak this well before? And we know that they've spoken about potentially using AI for Joe Biden to convince his base that he's A-OK. I mean, everything right now is very, very strange. But thank God for President Trump's life being spared. Thank God for the people out there that are still speaking the truth and not afraid to share the truth in these perilous times. Of course, our hearts go out to the victims of that horrible, horrible day that went on recently. I mean, the world was in shock and horror. But we are very, very glad that InfoWars is still on the air. I want to encourage everyone, before I get into what I'm about to share with you today, which is extremely disturbing, to continue supporting this broadcast, because what the globalists have planned next should terrify everyone. And I don't say that to share fear. I say that to talk about the severity of this situation. Very, very perilous times. We are currently facing a numerous converging plans that the globalists could implement ahead of the US election. I covered this in detail on a stream last night, but we have seen the CrowdStrike situation that just occurred. And Dr. Kirk Elliott, if you missed that segment that Alex just did with him, vital information. Gold and silver right now is crucial for people to protect their wealth. So I really do encourage everyone, KEPM is not my personal sponsor, but I encourage everyone to go to KEPM.com/gold and take this very, very seriously. We are in times where we don't know. In a moment, they could make our wealth disappear. As we saw how quickly banks were affected during the CrowdStrike situation, the blue screen of death being seen worldwide. I think this was very much, particularly, the ball in Las Vegas, the blue screen of death being displayed there, very much a conditioning tool. And we have been warning for some time that this is their wild card. The WEF talks about cyber COVID. It's going to affect the whole world, faster spreading than COVID. And the only way to mitigate this is to shut down all vulnerable devices and not allow people back online until a digital vaccine has been issued. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening around the world. Australia passed digital ID. The EU's bringing in extremely tyrannical digital ID measures. The US has a current digital ID bill. It's sitting there in the background. It hasn't been activated yet. But they are desperate. They are getting very, very desperate. And I believe that this is why they don't want President Trump in office. President Trump has spoken out against CBDCs. He says under his watch, there will be no CBDCs. He vehemently opposes the climate scam. Do you know that this is one of the main vehicles that the UN and the globalists will use to achieve their New World Order, to achieve their transition to digital currency, to CBDCs, to digital ID? It is one of the reasons that they use, that they want to preemptively vaccinate the populations. They say that human encroachment into natural habitats is causing pandemics. And, all of this migration of birds flying more than usual is causing pandemics. And therefore, we need to look at preemptively vaccinating populations to prevent pandemics. This is one of their key drivers to establish the New World Order. And so when you have a leader that comes out and says, this is a scam, I'm paying attention. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this short break on The Alex Jones Show.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Welcome back. Right before the break, we were talking about the fact that why is it that the globalists hate Trump so much? And I truly, truly believe that any time a world leader discusses the climate scam, opposes the WHO, they are an enemy of the establishment. This is certainly the case with Robert Fico, who said Slovakia will not comply with the WHO. And what happens? Oh, assassination attempt. He came back from that victorious and said, your plans failed. And President Trump has said he wants nothing to do with the WHO. He wants to pull out of it. Well, right now, the United States has a chance to make this an election issue, pulling out of the United Nations as a whole. And Dr. Rima Labo will be joining me later in the broadcast to discuss that very, very important issue. Why is it so important? Well, I'm going to be talking to you today about very, very alarming documents that have just come out of New Zealand. Now, people in the United States might ask, why does this matter for us? Well, it matters because this indicates that the globalists may be planning a pandemic ahead of the US elections. We've been saying since last year when I was there in the United States, I was saying to everyone, expect the kitchen sink. And Alex has said the same thing. They will throw everything at this election. I want to remind people that Yuval Noah Harari says 2024 will be the last year of elections. Moving forward, we will have AI government, AI elections. AI is going to tell you what sexuality you are. You don't know. AI has to tell you. And so they are wanting to ensure that whoever they install this year is fully on board with their agenda. So they can't have someone that says, oh, climate change is a scam, because it is one of the main drivers. New Zealand pandemic plan published July of this year. This document, which I'm going to take you through now, indicates that the globalists could very well be planning a new pandemic. And it talks about things like forced vaccinations, forced medical examinations. It was literally published this month, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. New Zealand pandemic plan, a framework for action, July 2024. I'm going to take you to the foreword here, which says that the New Zealand pandemic plan is a framework for action that sets out all of the government measures to be taken to prepare for and respond to a pandemic. It updates the current influenza pandemic plan, because influenza is suddenly a pandemic. And it says that pandemics by their nature are unpredictable in terms of timing, severity, and the population groups that are most affected. While written with influenza and coronaviruses primarily in mind, this version is broadly applicable to other respiratory illnesses as well, as long as pathogen-specific considerations are accounted for. And it also has potential application to other diseases with pandemic potential. Why is that important? Well, the WHO basically says that everything has pandemic potential right now. Climate change has pandemic potential. That is what they say. Human encroachment into natural habitats has pandemic potential. And so they will use this as the excuse to limit your movement, the excuse to force you into smart cities. I will be re-releasing that historic broadcast, the first one I ever hosted on The Alex Jones Show, again next week for everyone to view the Melbourne experiment and how Monash University and the United Nations say the plan is let's lock humanity up forever because it's really great for the climate. So guess what happens when a leader says climate change is a scam? Guess what happens when the United Nations says to you via the Melbourne experiment, this showed great levels of CO2 and this is, reduced levels of CO2, which by the way is the gas of life and all life flourishes with CO2, but never mind that. We reduced CO2 because everyone was locked up, so we should do it forever. And so when a leader opposes this, you can bet your bottom dollar that they are going to do whatever they can to take that person out. They are very serious about this. You have on the page about the legislation. I'm not going to take you through the whole document, but I want to show you what the legislation says. It says that mandatory measures are authorized by statute. And of course, statute has to pass through parliament. But we didn't see much resistance to that last time around, ladies and gentlemen. And they've installed a whole bunch of puppets since COVID or retained them. It says that mandated measures may include requirements for people to be tested, screened, or vaccinated, and it may include arrivals to New Zealand, quarantining or isolating people, for example, supporting those potentially exposed and those with disease in a quarantine treatment isolation facility or at home, or prohibiting them from leaving a particular facility or home. They also say that it will include restricting the movement of people in or out of an area, restricting travel within or out of New Zealand, imposing a duty to supply information for risk assessment or contact tracing, requirements for people to undergo preventative treatment. This is very, very important because, as I've highlighted many times in the past, strengthening Australia's pandemic preparedness, published by the CSIRO, who was involved or accused at least of being involved in Wuhan, China, they say that preventative injections are how we're going to cure climate change, essentially. This is how we need to mitigate climate change. Everyone needs to get preventatively vaccinated. So this is very important, guys, and they have changed the definition of a pandemic. They're now talking about non-seasonal and seasonal influenza being a pandemic that we need to preventatively vaccinate for. They are escalating this aspect. You know, everyone's looking at the cyber aspect, at the economic aspect, but let's not forget the pandemic aspect, which, by the way, doesn't have to be a COVID 2.0. These guys are now saying it can be any respiratory illness, really. They go on to say that they that their mandates will include requirements for people to not go to work or other public places, or to do so only under certain conditions, and commandeering of resources, including land, buildings, or vehicles. Where response measures involve mandated actions, particularly those that restrict basic freedom of movement and association, a system needs to be developed, guys, with clear criteria and processes to allow for exemptions to be sought and issued in a timely manner. Oh, we saw how that went last time. We saw a Blue Cross Blue Shield employee, regardless of her religious convictions, she had to wait years for one successful lawsuit to go through based on the fact that her exemption was not considered. In Australia, so many exemptions were denied. The only ones that were approved were those from the Orthodox Church, because the Serbian Orthodox Church was the only one, or one of the only ones, but it was the Orthodox Church in general, that said this is a violation of our religion because of the aborted fetal cells in these injections. That was the only exemption that worked in this country for religious convictions. And some employers, even in that regard, were not reasonable when it came to that. There was no consideration of human rights, and we know the WHO wanted to erase those. It goes on to say that in a pandemic response, government and designated officers may use available legislative powers as appropriate, and these include some of the powers provided for in the specified act, additional powers available under the Epidemic Preparedness Act, and additional powers under the Civil Defence Emergency Act, which I will take you through because it says in a very severe situation. What's a very severe situation? Well, anything they say it is, really. Anything the media says it is. They go on to say that other legislation that contains provisions relevant to managing a pandemic includes things like the cremation regulations, Burial Act, they mention later on as well, the health burial regulations. Actually, it's up there right now. And under that Health Act, it says that medical officers of health and health protection officers would rely on two kinds of primary powers. And they say that their routine powers, which is in regard to non-notifiable infectious diseases that require the approval of the Director of Public Health, which again is not difficult to achieve by people that are fully on board with this agenda. And then special powers, which extend to medical officers of health only, which need prior authorization by the Minister of Health. Again, not a very difficult thing. This is a mirror of the legislation that currently exists in the state of Western Australia and New York, by the way, that say that, you know, you don't need any proof that someone's sick. You can go into their home. I'm talking about the WA legislation specifically. You can go into their home, strip them naked, separate them from their children, take them to these concentration camps, inject them as many times as you want for as long as you want without any proof that they're sick and no warrant needed. Gosh, that sounds really safe, doesn't it? And so this is exactly what the WHO wants to do. We must as a worldwide community oppose this. I'm interviewing James Roguski this week on the fact that the pandemic treaty hasn't gone anywhere. And again, I'm telling everyone, reminding everyone, Donald Trump has said he wants out of the WHO, but the US has an opportunity right now to exit the UN. And if they do, this will be a flow-on effect to the whole world. And we'll discuss that more with Dr. Rima Labo in about 15 minutes. But I want to show you the rest of what this says. They say that an epidemic notice can be issued by the Prime Minister and by virtue of a state of emergency. These are the different ways in which these powers can be activated. Then it goes on to talk about how the when authorized to do so, medical officers can exercise potentially very significant powers. And what are those very significant powers? We will take a look at those in a moment. They go on to talk about non-seasonal influenza. So this is now specified as a notifiable infectious disease, everyone. So someone gets the sniffles, and it even specifies in this document that it doesn't even have to be within New Zealand. It can be anywhere in the world that someone has non-seasonal influenza and these powers can be activated. And you may think, well, that's unreasonable. They wouldn't do that. They can't possibly get away with that. Need I remind you of the lunatic politicians that we had during COVID that went along with absolutely everything? In Australia, we literally had the Premier of Queensland threatening, Anastasia Palaszczuk, threatening to put unvaccinated people in camps on national television. These people don't care about a real health situation. They care about transferring power to the WHO and having forever pandemics and forever injections. So what are their routine powers? It says that several routine powers are relevant in the pandemic context. A medical officer of health or health protection officer has the power to enter any premises, including by boarding an aircraft or ship at any reasonable time if he or she has reason to believe that there is or recently has been a person suffering from a notifiable infectious disease or recently exposed to the infection of any such disease. So there doesn't have to be evidence. They just have to have reason to believe. And we know that last year in Australia, the military went in the middle of the night and took Aboriginal people out of their homes and took them to camps, which they escaped from, by the way. They did that in the middle of the night, our military, everyone, because they believed to be close contacts. That's all it took. So when they say, you know, a reasonable excuse, that's all it takes. Oh, we have reason to believe. The power to examine allows medical officers of health or health protection officers to medically examine any person in any premises, including on an aircraft or ship, to ascertain whether a person believed to be suffering from a notifiable infectious disease. They just believe you're suffering, and of course, they can be asymptomatic, guys, or recently exposed is suffering or has recently suffered from the disease. They then say that they have the power to detain at a specified place of residence for isolation purposes. It allows a medical officer of health to issue a written direction to a person or contact whom the officer believes on reasonable grounds poses a public health risk arising from an infectious disease. So they just have to believe on reasonable grounds that you pose a public health risk. And in fact, they go on to mention here that this, you know, specifically pointing out people that don't comply, it makes reference to those people. So again, the fact that this was just published is indication that they may go with this ahead of the election. I think they're going to go with, a myriad of different options, if I'm honest with you, cyber being one of the key ones. They say that these sections outline a variety of conditions that the officer may specify, which include to stay at all or specified times at a specified place subject to specified conditions. The direction must specify its duration, and directions can't be used to compel a person to seek treatment. But for it to happen, the officer must apply for and be granted a public health order, order for contacts or medical examination order with a treatment order. Then it says that a medical officer of health may issue a direction under a certain section for a person to undergo a medical examination, although several preconditions must first be met. For example, a person has not complied with a previous request to seek examination. So this is, to me, a clear targeting of the non-compliant population when they try to roll this out. On the next page, it says that the Health Act provides for formal contact tracing, and they talk about this being most useful in a situation in which voluntary contact tracing is not working or the case is not cooperating. So again, provisions for those people who are not complying with this nonsense. And it says that the case that subpart 5 can require the case, which is the human, to provide specified information about their contacts, including identifying contact details, the contact tracer to be able to identify the disease's source, make contacts aware that they too may be infected, even though there's no evidence that this person is infected. They just believe they are. I mean, the powers of this are so broad, everyone. But here is where it gets extremely, extremely concerning. In regards to the special powers that they have, it says that special powers are authorized by the Minister of Health or by an epidemic notice or apply where an emergency has been declared under the Civil Defense Emergency Management Act. The power to detain, isolate, or quarantine allows a medical officer of health to require persons, places, buildings, ships, vehicles, aircraft, animals, or things to be isolated, quarantined, or disinfected. They also talk about disposing of bodies, by the way. The power to prescribe preventative treatment, this is vaccination, everyone, allows a medical officer of health in respect of any person who's been isolated or quarantined to require people to remain where they are isolated or quarantined until they have been medically examined and found to be free from infectious disease and until they have undergone such preventative treatment as the medical officer of health prescribes. So there they are talking about the non-compliant people, the fact that there's, especially if they're non-compliant and they haven't complied with previous directions, you can go and force examine them. And then on top of that, medical officers have the right to detain you until you have undergone what treatments they want you to undergo. Preventative treatments, that means you're not sick. If you need a preventative treatment, that means you're not sick. You're just believed to be at risk of being sick, and therefore you need to get what? Injected before you can leave this facility. Guys, this has just been published this month. So this to me is an indication that the former testing grounds of Australia and New Zealand, which had some of the most draconian measures during COVID, are potentially you know, they're potentially angling for something before the election. I can't guarantee that, but it should alarm everyone that something of this nature has been published. That we're adding this onto legislation. We're giving these special powers to detain and vaccinate forcefully. It even talks about police force, if needed, being permissible. The power to requisition premises, by the way, allows a medical officer of health to requisition premises and vehicles for the accommodation, treatment, and transport of patients. So seizing your property, your assets, and the power, the closure of premises. They talk about the closure of premises, which can be done by written order or published in a newspaper or broadcast by the TV or radio. And then it says that a member of the police may do anything reasonably necessary, including the use of force, to help a medical officer of health or any person authorized by the medical officer of health in the exercise or performance of powers or functions under these sections. Cops are being given the right to use force, what, for your forced vaccination inside camps, guys? These special powers, it says, were used for the first time during COVID, and in general terms, they performed really well. They performed really well, having police in Australia choking a woman nearly to death because she wasn't wearing a mask. It performed really well, everyone. Let's do it again. You maniacs. And I want to show you where it says that the outbreak can be, or all that needs to happen is the Prime Minister needs to declare it, and the outbreak can be overseas or in New Zealand. It's not highlighting that section. There we go. Overseas or in New Zealand. So it can be anywhere in the world and they can do this. And of course, they can issue modification orders. So they may pass this and then issue modification orders. The last page I want to show you is the mention of the international health regulations. You know how they said that this was not going to, affect the nation's sovereignty? Well, they're saying here that under the international health regulations, countries must develop and maintain core public health capacities for maintain surveillance of, investigate, and respond to, and report on all potentially significant public health events, and that these capacities must be in place locally, regionally, or nationally, and at the border. So you can expect every single country that agreed to the international health regulations to bring out something similar to this. And unfortunately, Australia, the United States, New Zealand, all on board. All on board. We need leadership that is going to exit the WHO. And right now, as I said, we do have an opportunity for the United States to decouple altogether from the United Nations. And if that happens, the rest of the Western world has a chance to follow and break free from this death machine. Dr. Rima Labo is on the case. She has been for some time. She's going to be joining us, hopefully, after this short break. I want to really quickly show you a couple of things out of the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act right before she comes on. So we'll be back after this short break. Don't go anywhere. Share this broadcast everywhere. And please continue to support InfoWars. How else would we be able to disseminate this vital information to the masses as we are? I'll see you in a moment.
Explain how the central bank digital currency, ESG controlled, corporate governance, controlling what you can do and spend, corporations, governments, private individuals, how they use that as the next bubble with the unified ledger. This is key because their bridge to get out of this bubble is the next level of total control to take a giant slice of everybody's life, but not call it a bail-in, just call it a social credit score.
Yeah. So Let me, if I may, put this into the context of you and what you've gone through in this bankruptcy that you've had to go through and everything happening with InfoWars. You know, they didn't like what you had to say, so they froze you from your bank account. You couldn't access your money, right? So that, but that took a legal process to get to that point. This is that exact same scenario, them separating you from your money, but without a legal process. They can just do it because they don't like you, because they don't like your ideology.
Now, slow down. That's his key, Dr. Elliott. This is a central bank ledger. Just sounds like a turn, people. No, everyone is in bankruptcy, private companies, corporations, the general public. That's what they say. I'll own nothing and like it. And then they unify it and take what they want. Your mortgage, everything is unified.
Everything. See, every asset that you have that's in this digital form, whether it's a bank account, checking account, savings account, money market, stock, bond, mutual fund, brokerage account, all of that stuff, and anything with a title like your house, right? You can be put into this unified ledger. Now, the World Economic Forum has explained this really well in the sense of this is digital money. It's programmable money, meaning they tokenize or they put all of your assets into a packet, and that packet is now can be sold, right? This is like a derivative. You can flip off the ownership with a flip of a button saying, okay, Alex, you no longer own all of this stuff that you thought you had. We're flipping the switch and we're going to give it to person B or person C or to the government, right? They can do whatever they want. This is what programmable money and a unified ledger is. And to make it really dangerous is that it's based on your digital social profile and your social credit score. Now, we're not talking about a dystopian future, right? We saw this happen with the truckers in Canada.
The British Prime Minister said, if you don't accept military service, we'll just turn your bank account off. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of these things seem to be a stretch in people's minds, right? It's like, oh, this is the mark of the beast. This is way down the road. We've seen it, bank accounts.
Well, that's right. You're not covering things that are coming. This is all being rolled out now. They have gas station chains all over Europe, the U.S., including in Oklahoma and Texas, where you've got to swipe a card to get in the building. You got to swipe a card to buy gas just to prove you're even able to buy it. I mean, it's coming in.
We're not just talking about freedom here, right? Financial freedom, getting out of harm's way of these digital assets. We're also doing something that we get the best of both worlds, asset protection and growth. And that's what makes it such an amazing
Nothing's performed as good as silver. And I haven't had a silver gold sponsor because so many of them sell numismatics, rip people off. You are the number one bullion dealer in America right now because you've got the best deals. Look at that 12-year graph, folks. This is a no-brainer to protect your assets and probably have growth. We can't guarantee anything, but my God, you're crazy if you don't call Dr. Kirk Elliott at 720-605-3900.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Everybody. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Dr. Rima Labo is going to join us in a moment here for the second half of the fourth hour, but I want to briefly show you a couple of very alarming things from the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act that is mentioned in the New Zealand pandemic plan we just went through. This is the act here. On page 48 of that act, it says declaration of a state of local emergency. And it says here that a state of local emergency may be declared in respect to an area that is not affected by an emergency, if, in the opinion of any person authorized to declare that state of local emergency, the resources of that area are needed to assist any other area where a state of local emergency is in force. Okay, so we can just declare it even if there isn't an emergency there. And one other point from here is page 57, where it talks about the emergency powers of civil defense emergency management groups. Down the bottom of that section, it says they can prohibit or regulate land, air, water, traffic within the area or district to the extent necessary to conduct civil defense emergency management. And of course, this is kind of normal, but not when we have military on the streets limiting our water use because there's a pandemic. I mean, is this what they want to do next? The Australian military pulled people out of their homes in the middle of the night. Who knows? undertake emergency measures for the disposal of dead persons or animals if it's satisfied that the measures are urgently necessary. And finally, this part is very, very alarming. It says, evacuation of premises and places. Despite anything in Section 94G, a recovery manager or constable may, if necessary, in his or her opinion, for the preservation of human life, direct the evacuation of any premises, including any place, the exclusion of any person or vehicle from any premises or place. And where it says that an entry on premises and places, a recovery manager or constable may enter and, if necessary, break into any premises or place if he or she believes on reasonable grounds that the action is necessary for saving life, preventing injury. Where is the part that I wanted to show you about destroying anything? This is such a vital, vital point. Now I've missed it. Okay, I'm going to look for it while Dr. Rima Labo comes in because I need to show you guys this. It's really, really important because they talk about being able to destroy anything. You know, they can destroy animals and destroy anything. Oh, I found it. Let me just show you quickly before we bring her on. Page 62. Power to carry out inspections. It says, while a state of emergency is in force, a controller or a constable or any person acting under the authority of a controller or a constable may examine, mark, seize, sample, secure, disinfect, or destroy any property, animal, or any other thing in order to prevent or limit the extent of the emergency. Needless to say, this is incredibly, incredibly alarming. As soon as I became aware of it, I called Dr. Rima Labo, who has been a fierce, fierce advocate for leaving the United Nations altogether, the death machine. She joins us now. Dr. Labo, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. As always, Maria, your focus is essential and correct, and I'm pleased to join you in this conversation. Let me say, first of all, that as I read it, this document notes that its extension was in 2002. This has been long prepared for. Not only that, in the United States, we have similar executive orders, which have been issued by George H.W. Bush and have been reiterated by every president since. The governor of New York State, Governor Hochul, simply declared the same powers for herself or any governor or any designee of the governor on February 14th of, I think it was 2002, but it may have been 2003. I'm sorry, 22, it may have been 23. I don't right. remember the exact year, but these regulations have existed in our countries for a very long time. Now we understand why they've been put into place. In fact, in 2009, when Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius addressed the Congress on September 15th and announced to the Congress of the United States that the FDA had already set up 90,000 vaccine administration centers in the United States and that the vaccines and the squalene to adjuvant the vaccines were already being distributed, and that the vaccination program for the swine flu vaccine was going to start, and I quote, with those who wanted it first and then move to every man, woman, and child in the United States on a compulsory basis. At that time, the regulations already were in place in the United States so that voluntary treatment could be imposed on any person who could be seized and quarantined and confined until they accepted the voluntary treatment to prevent disease, of course. And anything could be seized, anything could be entered, exactly as you are showing in this legislation. What we're seeing is a global implementation of a long-laid plan to destroy human society, human rights, and humanity from the DNA outward. We've long talked about this, Maria. This is not new. What's new is that people are noticing. Well, thank God. And at this point, I would like to remind people what you've said is very, very correct. The United States is the core of the death machine, unfortunately. The United States was the core around which the United Nations and its subsidiary pimple called the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization and UNESCO and all the other subsidiary pimples on the leprous surface of the death machine called the United Nations. All of those were formed around U.S. initiatives, sad to say. When the United States passes the bill now before the Congress of the United States called the Disengaging Entirely from the United Nations Debacle Act of 2023, and it can be passed, when Congress passes it and overrides the inevitable Oval Office veto, whichever sock puppet is sitting there, it doesn't matter, they will veto it. When that happens, the core, the heart, and the purpose of the United Nations death machine is, in fact, destroyed. Consequently, whether you live in Australia or Austria or Andorra or Zimbabwe, you know somebody who lives in the United States, and you need to stimulate them. Maybe you live in the United States. You need to stimulate them to take what we've called the 10 million Patriot Challenge, which means 10 million people need to pick up their Freedom Mouse and go to PreventGenocide2030.org and bang on Congress of the United States and say, get me out of this illegal, fraudulent death machine. You notice the naked truth is riding a wrecking ball toward the United Nations. The 10 million Patriot Challenge asks you, do you have the balls? And that's what it will take. Because if people shake their head and say, oh my, this is so terrible, these long laid plans will be enacted and there will be nothing left of humanity. Nothing.
Dr. Rima, if I could say that I hear a lot of people in the United States saying they'll never do that to me. We have the Second Amendment. You know, there's no way that this is going to affect me. You know, can you do it for the sake of countries like Australia and New Zealand that don't have the ability to defend themselves? Please, for me, do it for me. Go and support this bill for me, because for my people. Because if you exit the UN, the rest of the world will follow. And let me say, Dr. Labo, you know, you mentioned something that a lot of the world is waking up to much of this now. Just this week, the circulation has been happening on X that Bill Gates wants to introduce 500 new vaccines by 2030. You and I did an interview on that back in September of 2022, and it is the poison of censorship that, you know, makes it that the world didn't know about this back then. Imagine if in 2022 the masses knew about this 500 new vaccines plan, driven by the UN, driven by Bill Gates. How much more traction we would have gotten back then. It is unfortunate that we're at the final hour here that we can do something about it. But the point is that there is still the ability to do something about it.
In 2021, the World Health Organization, better named the World Holocaust Organization, we both understand, introduced its immunization agenda. And from its document, I have a shot of one of their charts. If I may share my screen, if I can do that, there we are. This is from their document, Impact Goal by 2030. The introduction, and these are mandated vaccines, of 500 novel vaccines in the right hand column in the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth column down, highlighted in yellow. Every vaccine already in existence will be forcefully jabbed into your bodies, and they're all being reformatted on the disastrous mRNA platform, but there will be 500 novel ones as well. There will be nobody left with genes, with DNA that is actually human. There will be no species members other than the super elite who call themselves the neo-aristocrats. But you and I, if we are allowed to survive, will have been gene-altered. We will have been biodigitally converged, as every government on the planet tells us they are going to do, as every government on the planet on their websites tell us they're going to redefine what being human means. Thank you very much. I already know what being human means. I don't need a government, for God's sakes, to tell me what my genes need to be in order to be human. Now, we have a Second Amendment. We have a Tenth Amendment. We have a First Amendment. We have nothing if we cede control of those rights to the United Nations. Forget the WHO. It's a pimple on the ass of the death machine. So instead of looking at one rivet on the Death Star, realize that it is the Death Star that is providing the danger to us. This has been long laid to take us all out in every country on the planet. And the only way out is out of the UN. And the only way out of the UN is to take the US out. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just passionate, Maria.
I know that, Dr. Labor. And I love your passion. I'm just thinking about, you know, the US audience that says, well, you know, come November, we're going to take this election back and it's all going to be good. That is such a naive position, you know, and I love you all. And that's why I'm saying it's naive, because, you know, of a number of reasons, which is, you know, number one being, I don't think they're going to let the election go ahead, but, you know, they're going to throw everything at us before that. Or potentially enter us into a state of emergency, which is why we're covering this. Why is New Zealand publishing this pandemic plan as of July? What are they planning? Are they, you know, ramping up for this ahead of the election? But apart from that, Dr. Labor, we have the UN Pact for the Future happening in September. So talk briefly on that, because that's before the election.
First of all, let me speak to the election. By selecting J.D. Vance as his vice president, whatever you think of Trump, however you affiliate with or don't affiliate with Trump, Trump has made himself a pimple on the globalist ass, because J.D. Vance is the man of the globalist hegemony. There is no question about that. And J.D. Vance is either there as Trump's controller or Trump's replacement. I don't know which, but he is not there by accident. So what we have is a new the United Nations 2.0. Look up United Nations 2.0 and you will come to the United Nations 2.0 website. And the United Nations 2.0, like Pact for the Future, is a new iteration of tyranny. Unabashed, unabridged, unmitigated, total tyranny. For those of you in the United States, as I am, let me point out that our rights are unalienable. They cannot be separated from us. Our entire country is built on the premise that we have these rights no matter what anybody thinks about it. The United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, if that is the controlling document, tells us clearly that rights are granted by the United Nations and can be removed by the passage of a law. A law, a non-government agency like the United Nations can pass a law. Yes, after Pact for the Future is adopted, they will become a super government. They will become the governing nation state of the entire world. No review, no votes, no challenges, no questioning. The ruling body will control the world. This is the wet dream of every tyrant that has ever lived. And they've spent 140 years putting their tyranny into technological capacity and into political reality. And they're ready to spring the trap and end any kind of right that we might ever have. And by the way, the last item, last article in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and God help any nation that is ruled under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is, of course, the declaration of no rights at all. The last item in that document, and I suggest you go online and read it, folks. The last item says everything a country does, everything anybody or anything does, has to be in harmony with the principles and programs of the United Nations. Once we have that, and that is Pact for the Future writ large, once we have that in place, we are lost. We are doomed, and we are irrelevant. As Yuval Harari says, we have no rights, and we have no function in society other than to mine cryptocurrency for the great ones with our biological processes to the extent that they wish to have that. As soon as that's no longer relevant to them, we are no longer relevant to them. This must
Yes, Bill Gates patent 060606, mining cryptocurrency with your body's data, the UN's AI World Society documents, remaking the world towards an age of global enlightenment. But it's not a social credit system. It's just a reward system where you only get paid in digital currency if you do the right thing. Now, I don't know about J.D. Vance, Dr. Reamer. I haven't dug in enough into him. But what I do know is that Americans have a chance right now to make this an election issue. And so you need to take advantage of that window that you have in order to affect the whole world and affect your country. And this is just so important, so important. So if you can talk us through the steps, Dr. Labo, of what people need to actually do to exit the UN right now. Well, it can be done.
Yes, it can be done. It will not be possible after this bill, if this bill does not pass. Can you show Prevent Genocide 2030, and I'll take you through the six steps. It's very simple. It will take you 5 minutes. 5 minutes. So scroll down a bit. 10 million Patriot Challenge. And I'm asking you, do you have the balls or have you bought into the propaganda that there's nothing you can do and you're not important? Step one, force Congress, force peacefully. Force Congress to pass the disengaging entirely from the UN debacle act of 2023. And it has to pass with sufficient support to overcome the veto. And when you click on the step, go down just a little bit more. Ah, there you are. Step one. When you click on that, then you come to a form, you put in your name and your address, and then you can email them. You can do a 30-second video. You can tweet them. And you can phone them. Then when you go to step two, we've made it really simple. There, you fill that in, and we're not going to take the time to do that now. But it's easy, folks. And if you're asking, well, what's in it for me? Not being destroyed, not having your children destroyed, not having society being destroyed, not having a complete loss of any right that you ever thought you had. Step two. You can tweet the presidential candidates before this election, and the tweet is all set up for you. It asks them a question, yes or no? Do you want my vote? I want your answers. Do you commit to withdraw from the UN, which includes the WHO? Will you reestablish the right of informed consent, including around vaccines? And will you investigate and prosecute the COVID criminals? That's pretty simple. So you put that on their Twitters. On their official Twitters, X's, whatever that's called, you know what I mean. You put that there and raise the question so that it becomes part of the necessary presidential dialogue, because right now no one is addressing this. These are the three critical questions of our time. You want my vote? I want your answer. Don't politic me, just yes or no. That's what I want. And we need lots of people asking that question to force it into the political dialogue. Step three, also on that same sheet. I mean, it's not hard. We have Congress, which is now out of session, and the men and women of Congress, both the House and the Senate, are in their districts, and they're doing town halls, and they're meeting with people, and they're collecting donations and doing all that stuff. This is a simple talking point sheet that you can download and take when you set up an appointment, either electronic or physically, with them and educate them, they do not know that they are committing a fraud against the Constitution and the people of the United States by not extracting the United States from the illegal, fraudulently entered into United Nations. That is explained quite succinctly in this talking point sheet. And also, we have a legal memo a little bit further down that you can read to understand why we say that no country in the world is legally bound by any treaty relationship with the United Nations, which is not a country. It's a club, a country club. And therefore, any member of Congress who does not work to take the United States out is committing high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, that's a problem. I don't know whether I've... Okay. Then, if we go to steps 4, 5, and 6, we see that it's your job, your opportunity to motivate your circle of influence. It's going to take 10 million people banging on Congress to get this passed. And by the way, Congress does routinely make a pivot of 180 degrees when enough people demand that they do something. Otherwise,
Dr. Rima Lebo, we're almost out of time today, so I want to wrap up by saying this. I think that we have a window of opportunity here. I do believe people can change. People can become aware of the globalist structure. More and more people are becoming aware of that, and that includes some people in politics and in power. And so I think that this is a really great way to test their loyalty as well. Do you want us out of this? Do you really want us to be free? Do you want the United States to be free and out of this death machine? I think this is a wonderful opportunity to test that loyalty, and anyone who's honest will consider it. And so vital, Dr. Rima Lebo. Again, that website is preventgenocide2030.org. Go there, share it. A few simple steps. Get the message out. Get it tweeted. This isn't a post-election issue. As we said, UN Pact for the Future is happening in September. If that happens, that could cause all sorts of spanners in the works to the election. We have to mitigate all of the different ways in which the globalists are going to try to, to stop humanity from being run by humans. They want us run by AI. I'm sorry, Dr. Rima Lebo, we normally have time to mention all your socials. I encourage people to read your Substack and encourage people to read your Substack, and again, preventgenocide2030.org. I'm Maria Z of zmedia.com. It's been an honor. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Lebo.
Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
You look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library. The most powerful person has water. I'm a well driller. So we have actually a pretty sound filtration system, but sure. I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa Pure.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.